Leslie's father, Robert, passed away when she was 10 years old. In what state is he buried? Answer at the end of the episode.
I would like to go on record, speaking as a citizen of Pawnee.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Local Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis!
Hello, hello! Welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name's Brian, and I'll be your host. This is episode number 107, being recorded Sunday, February 18th, 2024. And today I'm going to be talking about Season 4, Episode 5, Meet and Greet. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, as well as my other page at Parks Rec Memes. And just a reminder that this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. What's going on, everyone? Have you ever, had that thing happen where... Like, all right, so for instance, I was just in the kitchen and I had to unplug the coffee maker for something earlier in the day. So I was going to like unplug it back in. And the problem is now, obviously, when you plug it back in, it's going to say 12 o'clock and it's going to start from there. Clearly, it's not 12 o'clock right now. You have no idea what time it is. But anyway, you know, the thing where you... Basically, when you want to try to like sync up all of the clocks, that's what I'm getting at. Like, because, you know, the one on your phone, it's awesome. It's like a universal thing. So everyone's pretty much all the cell phones are like on the same same time. But like your appliances. So I have a microwave, a stove, and then the coffee maker that all have times on them. Now, I'm the kind of person that it's like it drives me nuts if one of them says 10:31 and the other one says like 10:33 or even 10:32. You know, they've got to be close, like they have to be within like a couple seconds of each other, because there's no way I can get all of them to like be exactly the same. However, I just had that that's what I spent like the last like few minutes doing upstairs right before I started recording. I plugged my coffee maker back in and I had to sync it up with the other times. And the thing is, you know, so you'll get it ready to go. So say it's 10:31. So I'm like, all right, cool. The stove and the microwave both say 10:31. So now it's like I'm ready. I have the coffee pot ready to go. It's like 10:30. Like I have it set at 10:30 and I just need to press one more time to go up to 10:31. However, if you wait too long, it like resets it basically, or it'll like take the time that it's at. So it's 10:30. So now it's like I have to start this whole thing over again. You know, you have to press the button like a certain amount, like 30 times just to get up there. And it's like then you look over at the other two and those two already switched in the process. And you're like, fuck, like how far behind am I now? So, you know, it's basically it's just you have to. And I swear, like every time you go to do this, like I said before, say you look at the other two and they both say 10:31, they will have just turned 10:31. So now you'll be standing there with your finger on that button for like 50 seconds, just like, come on! Because I saw it, no matter what, whenever you're trying, and it happens like if you're setting your car timer too, like say you're trying to get to the exact time, no matter what, when you try to do that, it will have just turned the minute like before you have to do it. So you'll have to sit there for a full minute. You never get the joy of like, okay, I'm going to change it. And then it happens like 10 seconds later. Never happens. Anyway. So the Super Bowl last week, not going to get into the game or anything. I just, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because of my predictions from last week. And I think I did pretty well, actually. I took the Chiefs won. I had Patrick Mahomes as the MVP. He was MVP. Now, actually, I did say, well, I remember I said either Mahomes, and I was like, well, maybe Kelsey. Kelsey was up on stage with Mahomes. He did have 9 catches for 90-some yards. I don't think he had a touchdown. But, yeah, so either way, I said both of them, and they were probably the best two players for the Chiefs. And then I did say the score. My prediction for the score was 27-21. I was very close. The score was 25-22, so actually there was just 3 points, well, shaved off on both sides. Two from the Chiefs and one from the 49ers. It was an awesome game. The commercials, I don't know, they were fine, I guess. There was a lot of, there was a commercial with Aubrey Plaza and Nick Offerman. I can't tell you what it was for. I thought the commercial was fine. Like, it was just her, and good for her. Like, Aubrey Plaza's killing it now. But just the fact that Nick Offerman came in at the very end, you were just like, oh, hell yeah, that's awesome. Like, obviously, there was some kind of a Parks and Rec tie. Not that the product being advertised had anything to do with Parks and Rec, but just the fact that they put Nick Offerman with her. So that was awesome. All right, well, that's all I have to BS about. Let's do some quick filler real quick. Some quick filler real quick.
Everything he's saying is nonsense, and he's fooling them.
So yeah, I just wanted to talk about Fargo. I don't know if this show is coming back for a sixth season. I really hope it is. But so obviously the five seasons that are, or I finished watching the five seasons that are available now. I watched season 1, 2, 3. I skipped 4 and then went to 5. And then after I finished 5, I went back to 4. So I actually watched them in the order 1, 2, 3, 5, 4. I've talked about it on here before, but you don't have to watch Fargo in order. All of the seasons are completely different. Each one has some kind of a tie-in to the other ones. But for the most part, it's like, I believe... So Noah Hawley is the creator of the show. I believe he is like a constant writer, like he has been for all five seasons. I know he's not writing everything himself, but I know he's been part of the storyline. So even though every season is completely different and the cast is completely different, I love that it's the same writer. And you can tell because these stories are just like, they're insane. So I love that this guy, Noah Hawley, and then his team, I mean, like they have a really great like feeling of what Fargo is, which I guess I said earlier, I'm like earlier, like episodes back when I first started watching Fargo, I was like, I think it's Fargo, Minnesota. No, it's Fargo, North Dakota, by the way. Thanks, Shug. But I don't know why the show is called Fargo because it usually takes place in Minnesota. But yeah, so I have enjoyed every season. I have really enjoyed all five seasons. Some of them took me longer than others to get into. And now all of them, I assume it's going to take you like 2 to 3 episodes to get fully into because it's a new cast. And, you know, usually, I mean, there's some awesome things that happen in the very first episodes. That's how they got to get you in. But I would say my favorite, if you're asking me what order should I watch these in, best to worst, I would say start with season 2. That's the one with the Gerhardts. Season 3 after that, that's with the twin Ewan McGregors. Then I would say season 5, that's with Juno Temple and Jon Hamm. Then I'd say season 4, that's Chris Rock as a bad guy. That's enduring enough, isn't it, right there? And then the last one is the Billy Bob Thornton with the Caesar haircut. That one's good, too. I think, in all honesty, because I watched all 5 of these seasons probably in the last, like, 2 months. I mean, I just ripped through these. Shout out to Elf from Melmac and then my cousin Tim as well for just constantly telling me. Actually, not, like, annoyingly, like, you got to watch this, you got to watch this. But I feel like every time this show would be brought up, both of you guys were like, yeah, it's a really good show. You should check it out. So, all right, that is all I have for filler. Let's talk about Parks and Rec. Season 4, Episode 5, Meet and Greet, directed by Wendy Stansler, written by Katie Dippold. Cold open. We start off in the Parks Department with April and Andy doing inventory for the Halloween party that they're throwing that night. We get a great tandem talking head where April keeps talking about awful things that are going to happen, but then Andy immediately finishes her sentences to clean them up. For example, April, someone will die tonight. And then Andy kind of jumps in, of fun. April, there will be bloody goblins. Andy, yeah, fake ones. I don't know. It's kind of funny. It's like almost like Andy's the disclaimer for the party. It's kind of funny. So it's looking like it's going to be a pretty badass party. I would think so with these two running it. So... All right, so we cut over to Leslie's office. She meets with Tom. She is throwing a meet and greet for local businesses, and she has asked Entertainment 720 to help plan the event. This, of course, is because she's running for city council, so it's a promotional event as well. Tom shows Leslie a picture of a man named Martin Kernston, who is the president of the Chamber of Commerce and also CEO of Kernston's Rubber Nipples, which is where Donna worked in between seasons 2 and 3 during the government shutdown. So this is actually, the first episode of season 3, you see a person come up and he's like, hey, Donna, you know, someone's on the phone for you. Right before that, she's just like, so come on, tell me. How many rubber nipples are you? I forgot what it is, but yeah, she worked there. And then also in season 2, the episode Sister City, Leslie gives, it's like, what is it? Like a 2.5 pound bag of rubber nipples like that she gives to Raul and the guys from, where the hell are they from? Venezuela. So yeah, it's just hysterical. I love that. And also, yeah, the rubber nipple and, meeting Martin Kernston. All right, so then Tom gives Leslie a binder that is filled with Martin's personal information. No idea where Tom got all of this stuff, but he has to leave after he gets a call from John Ralphio, who is crying. So we don't hear this. Like, we don't, you know, like when Tom answers the phone, he's just like, hey, John, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you crying? And he runs out of the room. So we don't hear, like, Ben Schwartz crying on the other end. I kind of wish we did, but... all right, so over to... Casa de Dwyer, Ludgate, and Wyatt. I don't know why I switched to Spanish for a second there. Ben comes home to a fully decorated house, but has no idea what's going on. Obviously, he knows it's for a party, but neither April nor Andy told him about it. For Halloween, Andy is dressed as UFC legend Chuck Liddell, and April is a sumo wrestler after he lost a ton of weight. So it's just great. She's like, she got one of those, you know, like the sumo wrestler, like the fat suits, and she just didn't inflate it. So she basically, it's like she just has all the loose skin hanging there. Perfect, April. Ben passive aggressively, I don't know, makes comments about this party in his house that he wasn't invited to or even told about. So it does get a little annoying. I'm going to throw my cards. I'll show you my cards right now. I'm not a big fan of this episode. I'm going to try to like speak to it with enthusiasm because there's still some good stuff. But I mean, I'll get to it throughout why I'm not a big fan of this one. But yeah, part of it is this one, like Ben in this episode, it's like, I understand he's trying to prove a point because they're throwing this party. Yes, it's not his house, but he pays rent like they do. So he became like a third partner, essentially. And I assume he's the only one that has the rent on time and he probably pays the most. I think they actually made like that an agreement that he would pay the most, believe it or not. But yeah, so it's just, it's kind of annoying. It's kind of a dumb storyline, actually, that which I'll get more into it. So. And a side note, just to further talk about this, like April and Andy are like assholes in this episode, especially how even after, like when Ben voices his displeasure, they don't give a shit. Like Andy is basically a bully in this episode and you'll see me moving forward, like I said. So I don't like it. In a talking head, Ben tells us about bottling up problems and how his parents used to do that. And that after 36 years, they're still divorced. We will meet Ben's parents in season 4, but I think it's season 5, the episode Ben's parents. They're terrible. It's great. Okay, next we're in a banquet hall for the meet and greet. However, Leslie is shocked to see that the entire room is decked out in E720 logos and literally pictures of Tom. Okay, folks, this is one of those like irredeemable Tom episodes, by the way. Like, I just have to say this off the bat because, like, Tom is awful. He might be at his worst in this episode. I don't know. I mean, like, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, whatever, but I fucking hate Tom so much in this episode. So, before I get, like, angrily into that, though, I just want to say that the pictures that are all over this banquet that are supposed to be for Leslie, nope, the ones that are actually of Tom Haverford are, and I love that this running joke that it's always the same picture of Tom when he wants to like be enduring, and it's the one, or enduring, whatever, it's the one of him with the little really, really tiny coffee cup at the end of he wanted to use that as the cover for the summer catalog, and then I saw it recently. Yeah, it's just, he's used that one a bunch of times. It's always the one with Tom just kind of sitting over, and then he's got, yeah, the really, like April, the earlier in the series when Tom was looking at the picture, he's just like, what do you think that guy's thinking about? And April's like, why do I have such a small coffee cup? And it is really funny because it's like, is that a teacup or a coffee cup? But anyway, so Leslie tells him, though, that she wants all this shit taken down. She's like, you know what? This is all Entertainment 720 bullshit. This is all you. I can't believe it. Like, she's shocked. And, like, you are, too. Like, we are, as viewers. When you look at this, you're like, oh, my God. Like, look at what he did. And she says, the only thing I want you to keep is that cake over there. Scrape all the words off of it, whatever it has written on there about E720, but save the cake, of course. All right, so now we're at the Halloween party, and it is bumping. Donna is dressed as a police officer, and Chris is dressed as Sherlock Holmes. He's even method acting as he's fully turned into this character, which is very annoying. Actually, there is a funny part, though, when he's just like telling everyone what their Halloween costume is, but he's got like his binoculars out, like he's doing like big time research. Like, he looks at Donna, who's very clearly a cop, and he's just like, you're a police officer, you know, but he wants her to be like impressed that he figured it out. And then you just see a girl walk by in the background with like a white like gown on and like really dark hair. And he's like, girl from The Ring. I just love that. Like, and she turns around and it's like, wow. Yeah. It either is Samara from The Ring or maybe the girl from The Grudge. I don't know. It was really funny though. I like the little shout out to The Ring. Excuse me. All right, where are we at? So we also see Jerry dressed as Mr. Potato Head. He tells Chris to invite Millie. So here we find out that Chris can text without looking at his phone. That was a funny, like, I like how we learned last week that Chris can read 3,000 words per minute, which is humanly impossible, not possible, but I still think it's fucking hilarious. And then also, yeah, we find out here that Chris can text without looking at his phone. So it's really funny. He pulls the phone up and he's like staring at Jerry, and Jerry's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm texting you right now. He's like, you could text without looking. And he's like, I find it's very rude to not make eye contact with someone when you're like in their presence. So then he sends it, you know, it's like, ba-doom! Jerry hears his text and it's just like, hi, Jerry, with a smiley face emoji. So I love that he knows where the emojis are too. So great line here. And this is like, it's a very funny line, but this, and I guess I think watching the show now and as a rewatch, I'm starting to not like Chris Traeger as much as I thought I did. A lot of it, you know, like I feel like a lot of his stuff is going to come and go. Like Tom Haverford's always a douche. He always sucks. But like with Chris, he does like some, like I talked about it last week. Like it's pretty unethical, I think, whether or not it has anything to do with the job. But he is dating one of his employees' daughters. That is, yeah, he's not dating her when they're at work, but it is still like, dude. And then the fact that he talks to Jerry about how they date and he tells Jerry things like, hey, I'm going to bring your daughter home and I'm going to have sex with her tonight. It's fucked up. It really is. And it's just like you kind of think about it. And it's like, yeah, Chris isn't like always the greatest guy. So. But yeah, here, this is a very funny line, but it's another like Chris just being kind of an asshole, because Jerry's just like, oh my God, Chris, you're great. And then Chris is just like, you're great on the inside. Like he, you know, so it's funny, but it's still just like, wow, what a shitty thing to say to someone. So, all right. Then we see Ron in his costume. Yep. You guessed it. He's a pirate. He has told this a couple times before. This is my Halloween costume. So it's like, that's his uniform. It's not, hey, this isn't my Halloween costume this year. It's like, nope, this is the Halloween costume I have in my closet that I wear on Halloween. We also see April's best friend and fan favorite, Oren. He has no lines in this episode, though, so that kind of sucks. But it's fun to see him, and it makes sense that he'd be at her party. So Ron's got news for Andy, though. The bathroom faucet is leaking. Andy's well aware of this. Andy's well aware of this, but he's just a little pissed off that the sock that he stuffed in it yesterday isn't doing the trick. Also, there's an exposed wire above the shower that Andy knows about and even has a name for it. Shock wire. He calls it this because if you take a shower, then you touch the wire, you die. Love it. He's got like a thing worked out for it. And Ron's just like, Yep. That's precise, or that's approximate, or yeah, that's what would happen. Ron decides then that he's going to fix all this stuff in Andy's house, and he even asks Andy for a toolbox. So the toolbox, which is actually a plastic grocery bag, contains the following things: a hammer, half a pretzel, a baseball card, Sonic the Hedgehog for Sega Genesis is just the cartridge, which I love. This had nothing to do with it at the time when this episode came out, but I love that Ben Schwartz, John Ralphio himself, would go on to play Sonic, or at least voice Sonic. Also, in the tool bag, a half a pair of scissors and then a flashlight filled with jelly beans. All right, so back over to the meet and greet. Leslie introduces herself and tells all the business owners that she has done business at all of their shops, except, of course, she gets called out by none other than Tanya from Sue's Salad. Yeah, we met Tanya in season 2. And Leslie admits that she hasn't gone there because she doesn't hate herself enough. So this is the running joke with, first of all, with Pawnee and Salad, because when Leslie says this about like how she doesn't hate herself enough, you see a lot of the other vendors shaking their head like, yep, yep. Like, this is it's another one of the funny things, like how Pawnee hates the library. Pawnee also hates healthy living. So Seuss, and I don't understand, it's funny, and it's great with the world building that they keep bringing Tanya back for Seuss Salads, but it's like, there's no fucking way that Seuss Salad would ever last in a town like Pawnee. It wouldn't. There's not enough Chris Traegers around to keep it going. So it's a funny joke, but it just doesn't make sense. So, like I said, the other business owners agree with Leslie. And it's pretty funny that they're nodding in approval, especially since Tanya's like one of their peers, like one of their own. But they're still just like, yeah, this lady sucks. Get her the hell out. She sells salads. All right. So I have to note, though, at this point, none of the Tom/E720 bullshit has been taken down, but Leslie, she still feels it's like going well. So she's actually being very optimistic. But yeah, when she told Tom, like, I want all this stuff taken down, he took none of it down. Did nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then she meets the man himself, Martin Kernston, who has, his hair is almost as bad as Chris's, which, I've been talking about it in the past episodes. I can't talk about it in this episode because he is wearing the Sherlock Holmes outfit. So he has a hat on. So I can't really tell if his hair is bad. However, this guy I'm talking about, Martin Kernston, he is the nipple king. His hair actually looks exactly like Lil Sebastian's. It's hilarious. I remember years back on the Parks Rec memes page, I put a picture and it's like, oh, it looks like these two like get their haircut from the same person. And sure enough, everyone's just like, no, shut up. Martin Kernston cuts his own hair. And it's just like, that's not what I meant. Whatever. But yeah, that is something we find out about Martin Kernston, that he cuts his own hair. And that's probably why it looks so shitty. But anyway, it's like almost like a Caesar like bowl cut, you know, above like the eyes. But then it's just kind of like a mullet in the back. Like, it's just, it's a terrible haircut. Very funny looking, though. But as Leslie's talking to him, Tom comes over and he just starts schmoozing. Like, he just kind of butts in and he just starts talking about E720. Leslie is literally looking like a volcano that is about to erupt because she is so pissed off at Tom. She even, in a talking head, calls him a dick, which I don't know if we might hear that like one other time in this show. I just don't know. Back in 2012, if like dick was like right now, I feel like you can say a lot of things on TV, but back then I feel like dick was kind of like, ooh. So after that, she approaches him and basically tells him to like, she basically tells Tom, like, get the hell out of here. Like, I do not need your help. I don't want you around. Just go. She doesn't. Yeah. She's just pissed at this point. It's like, I don't care. You don't need to take your stuff down. You can come back afterwards and get it, but just get the fuck out of here. She's pissed off. All right, so now we quickly cut over to Lowe's, the hardware store, which Parks and Rec doesn't do this that often. They don't go to like actually name brand places, but it's funny. So Ron is in a Lowe's hardware store where he's shopping for materials to repair Andy and April's house. We get a great line here as there's a Lowe's worker who stops Ron and asks if he needs help. And Ron just says, I know more than you. I apologize for the barking. Lucy's being a jerk. She's barking at something. I'm very close to pausing this to go see what the hell she's barking at. But if you can hear that, sorry. Anyway. All right. So Ron gets back to the party and he enlists the help of Ann Perkins, or at least her small hands, because that's why when he tells her to come with, she's like, what do you need? And he's like, you've got little small hands, so come with me. And by the way, is dressed as, hate to say it, but the most popular emoji for men these days. An eggplant. She reluctantly follows Rod. So I feel like April hasn't really been in this episode very much, but we finally do see her again as she and Andy check in on Ben. He says he's not going to put on a costume since he wasn't invited to the party. Like, Andy even tells him, like, dude, go put on the Batman costume, which I love is a great shout out to last week's episode, Pawnee Rangers, when, was it last week? Last week or 2 weeks ago. But anyway, when Ben got the Batman costume, so I love that Andy called that out. However, this is like where Andy kind of shifts into an asshole. Like, really, you don't see this that often from Andy because he's just so fun loving. But he does that like shitty thing where he's like, he's talking to Ben and he actually puts his hands, he puts his fingers on Ben's mouth and makes him start like, yes, and like he's talking for him, like the really like shitty condescending thing you do like to your friends when you're like 6 years old, like making them talk for you. So Ben pushes Andy's hands away and then he returns to his room, but not before yelling at Oren, who's wandering into his room. This is great. He's like, Oren, no, stay out, and like runs over and puts his hand to block him from going in. It's great. So like, it's just like, you can tell at this point, April and Andy like know that Ben's pissed off. So I just, again, they're just like, they're shitty to him in this episode, and it pisses me off. So back over to the meet and greet, Leslie gives a speech talking about the tough economy, but how businesses like food and stuff, JJ's Diner, Glenmore's Discount Cemetery, Tram Stamp Tattoos, enormous Kenny's Fried Dough Stand, and Mobile Phone Emporium. Oh, sorry. Kenny's Fried Dough Stand and Mobile Phone Emporium. Wow, that's a long one. Sue's Salad, Smooth Operator Bikini Waxes, Jeff's Savings and Loans, and then over the intercom, you hear Tom saying, "At Entertainment 720. Yeah, as he just like, he comes out and just introduces himself, and you find out that, yeah, this was Tom's pretty much his plan the whole time, not even for Leslie's meet and greet. It was eventually going to turn into him doing this E720 bullshit. So yeah, he's got like a video playing, and it's just so funny because like, even like right as the video starts playing, Leslie's giving him like a titty twister, like like, you know. But yeah, I just have to say, honestly, fuck Tom Haverford. It's just like one of those episodes where you go back to it and you remember why you hate him so much, for me at least. So back over to the Halloween party, Jerry's daughter Millie has shown up, and her and Chris waste no time getting inappropriate, both with their dancing and also doing it right in front of Jerry. April notices Jerry's shock, and you can tell she feels bad for him because she hilariously takes the giant Velcro smiley face on his costume and flips it upside down. We cut over to Ron and Anne, who are fixing that leaky sink. This is a nice scene, though, between the two, because he enjoys teaching her. You can just tell. It's pretty awesome. And she's actually interested. She's like, you know, hey, Ron, I am a homeowner, and it'd be awesome if you could teach me how to do this stuff. So I knew. So the two of them decide that they're going to fix everything in the house in need of repair. Back over to the meet and greet, we finished the video that Tom showed everyone, which was himself acting like Mark Zuckerberg. Like, it's, and I hate to like take away from like the comedy here, but I hate it. I hate this part of Tom, like this episode, everything. It just, it's like I said, irredeemable. So it's hard for me to like find joy in like the other aspects of what's going on in this episode. But he's doing one of those videos that they show on like crime shows all the time, where it's just a silhouette of the person and their voice kind of sounds like this. So like, I wasn't there when the killer showed up at the house, but, you know, so that's what Tom's voice kind of sounds like. And at the bottom, it just says Mark. And he's like, let's face the realities, the book. So he's like trying to do Facebook ones. And anyway, then Tom calls out the E720 mailing list divas. It's just like fucking unreal how much Tom doesn't give a rat's ass about anyone but himself. So yeah, I didn't say it, though. The E720 mailing list divas are essentially just like Jones Gotcha girls. They just come out and they're like hot babes, you know, they just start dancing around and like giving out flyers. So it's pretty funny because you can see like Martin Kernston, the guy, the nipple king, the one, really the big fish that Leslie's trying to get for this. He's not having it. He's not, you know, he doesn't like all this flashiness and everything, but there are a couple other, like the male vendors that are like, yeah, they're like loving these chicks dancing around. It's great. All right. Back at the Halloween party, April starts to play Ben's passive aggressive game. She won't join the party, or since he won't join the party, she won't let him have any of the food. Then Andy lets himself into Ben's room and starts literally picking on him. This is where Andy tells us that he had five brothers. So yeah, we knew Andy had brothers, but I don't think we ever knew that he had five. So, and that they solved everything by wrestling. It would be like wrestling, then hugging, and then crazy wrestling, but like it would always end in like a hug. He also has Ben by this point in a full-on headlock, refusing to let go until he says what's wrong. Honestly, like I said before, this is a really stupid storyline. It's another one of those ones where you're like, Andy's like stupidity sometimes bogs down episodes, and I think it's this is one of them where he's just like, come on, tell me what's wrong. And like, I genuinely don't think Andy is just like, I'm not letting go into like knowing that I think Andy's just that stupid that he literally doesn't understand that Ben's like, why Ben's upset. So it's anyway. All right. So back over at the meet and greet, Leslie tries to apologize to Martin Kernson for Tom's behavior. And he tells her that if she supports a nonsensical company like E720, then he doesn't want to do business with her, and then he leaves. But it's really funny, actually. I love that Leslie, when she's walking over to talk to him, she's like, Mr. President. Like, she calls him Mr. President. He's just like the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Maybe I'm nuts. Did I say Commerce? Commerce. Chamber of Converse. Teresa, you're in government. Maybe you'd know. Do people call Mr. you know, and it's just the secretary of or whatever? I don't know. But it's just funny. I love that she calls him Mr. President. Outside, Tom has a huge E720 stretched limo Hummer with a pool in it. Leslie tells him to get out. She even calls him a bastard. Kind of a funny scene when she's walking out. Like, plus she gets out and you see the stretched limo and she like comes out by the front of it and she's walking by and like she puts her hands like, what the fuck? Like one of those as she's walking, because this thing's like 40 feet long. But she finally gets to the end, and, you know, she's just like, get out of there. Get out of there, you little bastard, you know. And Tom's just like, no, I'm not going anywhere. So she actually, like, she's so pissed off, she just gets in fully clothed, and she starts, like, holding his head underwater. It's such a great scene. I love it because she's like, how about now? What are you going to do? Like, and she just keeps it because she's just so mad. And, you know, she has every right to be. But then, like, it really, like, pisses me off because then he starts getting, like, sympathy from her because, like, he's like, well, my company's bankrupt. It's like, oh, you mean your stupid-ass, like, idiotic company that didn't make any sense, had no business plan, had no revenue, was just paying people who weren't doing anything? You don't understand why that went under, huh? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm, like, really passionate about this. Man. But it pisses me off so much that Leslie's like, oh no, Tom, like, you're kind of laughing at the fact that Leslie's in this hot tub fully dressed and that she's already just like, oh, like not even like phased by that, but she's just like already like giving Tom sympathy. It pisses me off so much. But anyway, yeah, folks, Entertainment 720 is dead. And I hate that they tried to make us feel bad for Tom. So then Tom tells us that they've been, or that they were pretty much hemorrhaging cash, like, from the beginning. Yeah, no shit. We saw that because they weren't doing anything. He even tells Leslie, like, right when they started off, people were calling in for their business, for their services, and they were just saying, sorry, we're too busy. They had no clients at all, but they were telling people that they were too busy because they thought that that would create, like, more buzz. Like, people being like, oh my God, I couldn't get... Instead, they were just losing out on clients. This company that had zero clients to begin with. So it almost makes you smile that like Tom fails again. Ah, it's so good. All right. So then Leslie finally gets Tom to get out because she's like, let's go get some breakfast or food or whatever. So back at the Halloween party, more of April and Andy picking on Ben. Also Chris and Millie getting down and dirty. We see Ron and Ann fixing a pipe under the kitchen sink. When they finish up, Ron gives Ann the toolbox he got from Lowe's as a gift for helping. So it's very nice. It's just like, hey, yeah, she clearly doesn't have one because she's like, yeah, she's very excited by it. Things with Ben and Andy finally come to a head as Ben's body finally goes limp. Instead of walking, because yeah, Andy's still got him in a headlock and he's been like, okay, we're going to go over to the pretzels now. So like Ben would walk with him. Now Ben is just like letting his feet drag behind. And then it starts to get physical and Ben accidentally elbows Andy right in the face, breaking his nose. He's not upset though, just in pain as he credits Ben for finally fighting back, regardless that he has to go to the hospital. So yeah, it's awesome because earlier in the episode, I didn't talk about it, but in the cold open when Andy and April are going over their inventory for the party April's like, did you get blood capsules? And he's like, no, they're all out of them. She's like, oh, that sucks. And she looks over and you just see like blood like slowly dripping out of his mouth. So that was his way of telling her like, yeah, we got him. So you knew the blood capsules were there. So he gets elbowed and Andy's like, oh, psych, blood capsules. And you hear like everyone at the party like, oh, yeah. And he's like, see, Ben, I told you that. And then he touches his nose and he's just like, oh, boop, that's broken. And he's like, oh, fuck, that's broken. So it's a good scene. But like, I like that. Yeah, Ben did fight back and like that Andy wasn't pissed off at him. But I guess like, I don't know. I mean, like Andy was drinking at the party. I don't know if this was just supposed to be him like being maybe a little drunk. So maybe like a little annoying and obnoxious, but I don't know. I still just didn't really like it. Next, we see Leslie and Tom having lunch at JJ's, where he talks more about how pathetic he is and wonders why his massively idiotic and non-thought out plan didn't work. So, I can't wait to be done with this episode. Also, like, there's this whole reveal about E720 being broke. It goes back to the phone call from John Ralphio earlier when he was crying, I'm guessing. Like, we don't know that for sure, but yeah, it's kind of like you think about that. It's like, oh yeah, like when he got that phone call from John Ralphio, we didn't hear anything about that. But yeah, that was probably him telling Tom, dude, we're broke. We have no money left. And then again, I hate that Tom just gets any sympathy from Leslie at all. And any of you, anyone watching, if you're feeling sympathy for Tom Haverford, ugh, I hate you. I don't hate you, but I hate that you're feeling sympathy for Tom Haverford. Over at the hospital, Ben and Andy finally have a heart-to-heart, and Ben tells him about some of the unhappiness with the house rules, or more specifically, the lack of rules. Andy's nurse is named Diane, and we saw her in the episode Greg Pakitis, where she tried to hit on Mark to test him. And then season three, she was in the episode Flu Season. She's played by Jean Simpson. I just wanted to point that out. She's one of Anne's friends. Yeah, she was invited over for the party, and she's sitting down next to Mark Brendana, which is like, hey, you want to come over to my house? And he's like, no, I'm dating Anne. She's like, oh, great, you passed the test. And then she gets up, and then another one of Anne's friends sits down. She's like, hey, what's up? You want to come home? Does the same exact thing. But yeah, I guess I forgot that she was in multiple episodes. So right when I saw her, it's like, oh, yeah, that's Anne's friend. So got to point out who she is because she's in multiple episodes. Then April picks the two of them up. It's funny because, of course, April comes running in. And she's like, sorry, guys, I'm double parked. Course, April. We find out that her and Andy, and this is like, I don't know if this is true or not. They do use Ben's comforter for pillow forts, but then April, I don't know if this is just like to add on like to kick Ben when he's down, or if it's her just trying to do like one of those, like, I guess you'll never know. But when they're walking out, Andy says to her, April, we can't use Ben's blanket anymore. And she goes, great, what are we supposed to have sex on now? But she doesn't say it like in a joking tone. So I like that Ben now has to like be like, wait, are you guys fucking on my blade? You know, like, and it's one of those, maybe not. Guess you'll never know. So that was pretty funny. Back at the Parks Department, Tom shows Leslie a video he originally made for her for the meet and greet thing. And sure enough, all is forgiven. And he does the same thing in season 7 for Ben. Like, he literally does the same exact thing because he sabotages. It's like a, Ben's winning an award for like person of the decade or person of the year or something like that. I forgot what it is, but Tom just goes up there and he talks for like, you know, the whole time. So when Ben finally gets to, it's like, he's out of time. It's like the Academy Awards. Like, he literally gets the hook. Like, he gets stopped. And then Tom just like, he's like, well, do you want to see the speech I actually had prepared to read? And Ben's like crying. He's just like, it's such a good speech. So Leslie is doing the exact same thing here. She's just like, oh my God, Tom Haverford's like such a good guy. But he could also be a scumbag, but he could also be a good guy. Ugh. Anyway, so we go over to the tag. We see Chris, Millie, and Jerry leaving the Halloween party. And Chris says to Jerry, I'm taking your daughter home and we may be having intercourse. That's what a guy says to his employee. It's so gross. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, again, this is, I'm happy that all of this, like, just garbage, like this, I hate this episode. I'm saying, like, I don't like this episode. However, Chris cannot find his car keys. Back inside, we see April with the keys, and she just says, solve this mystery, genius, as she tosses them into the garbage. Fuck yeah. So I don't know if this is true, but I really feel like April did this for Jerry. Because earlier in the episode, we saw the part where Jerry had to watch as Chris and Millie were just like getting way too like down and dirty. And I said he had the Mr. Potato Head costume on. So with the big smiley face, and April flipped it over to a frown. April was really like the way she was acting, because she knew exactly what she looked at Jerry. Then she looked over at them dancing and then back at Jerry. And she kind of made a face like, man, that really sucks. I feel bad for Jerry. So I think by flipping the thing over, she was kind of showing him like, I feel you, bud. Because she did give him a little tap on the belly, too, like after she put it on. But that's how I like to feel, is that April is maybe it's not even just for Jerry. Maybe she's just like, Chris, you're, I mean, we do know that he was being annoying with the whole like, yeah, Sherlock Traeger, like trying to figure everything out. So maybe she was just annoyed by that. But I, in my heart of hearts, am going to say that she was standing up for Jerry. Okay, on IMDb, this is sitting at a 7.7, probably too high if you ask me, honestly. Like, this isn't a very funny episode. My thoughts, jumping right into it, like I said a second ago, not a big fan of this episode. I would go as far as saying I hate this episode. Andy's an asshole the whole time. Chris is, like, inappropriate, unethical, creepy. Tom is just, like, a total piece of shit. He is, like, at the top level of his, like, scumbag. Like, I hate this. Yeah. So, man, I'm like really upset after reviewing this episode. I guess like I should probably never watch this episode again. I'm trying to calm down. But yeah, just not much to take away from this episode. I think the Ron and Anne pairing was kind of fun. They looked like they were, you know, that was really one of the only good things about this episode. You know, I don't know. Leslie's situation sucked. The part where she got into the hot tub was kind of funny. And just like seeing how funny that stretched limo is with the pool in it, it was good. Seeing Oren was kind of nice. He didn't have any speaking lines, but I mean, it's always awesome to see him. But yeah, sorry. I didn't realize, even when I was writing and watching the episode, I didn't realize like how much I didn't like this one. But as I was going back and yeah, doing it for the show, it's ugh. So, all right. That is going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizensofpawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. You can also like and follow on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast and at Parks Rec Memes. Next week, I will be covering Season 4, Episode 6, End of the World. This is a great episode, so we'll get back on track. I really like this one. Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name's Brian, and I'll see you next week. Leslie's father is buried in a cemetery in Florida.